is good to see everyone that's joined with us tonight. Warm welcome to our gospel meeting. Now, we'll just read from the Bible, please. And if you have a Bible, you might want to follow in Matthew's gospel. Matthew in chapter number 13 is one of the better known bits of the Bible. It's the story the Lord Jesus Christ told, a parable, and it's the parable of the sower. And you might remember this parable. Maybe you heard it at Sunday school, and some of us have heard it here before. It's a very interesting parable, and it's Matthew chapter number 13, and we'll read quite a bit from that chapter tonight. Matthew 13 and verse number 1 says, "The same day when went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and they brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." The disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And he answered and said to them, "Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Verse 15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." And verse number 18, the Lord Jesus will explain this parable. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and then on he goes on with joy in receiving it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they come in and they choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that hears the word, and he understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And we do look to God to give us help tonight as we think about some of these things together. Quite a lot we've read there, but we'll take our time and we'll just work through it as we have the time this evening and think about some of these very interesting thoughts that the Lord Jesus Christ presents to us. Now, many years ago, in conversation with a person who was a religious person but not a Christian, a point was made to me, and maybe you've heard it made over the years, and he made this point to me. He said, "There's more than one way to God." There's more than one way to God. He said, really, all the ways to God, they all lead to the same place eventually. And he said, you know, you think of a wheel, it's a bit like spokes in the wheel, and they're all pointing in opposite directions, but if you follow them down, they all lead to the same place. Now, it is said, that even rats aren't stupid enough to eat pure poison, and that if you give a rat some poison, you have to mix it in with something good. And in that little story I was told, there's just enough truth in it for us to believe it. It's not pure poison. It's almost right. And the Bible almost agrees with what that man said, that there are many ways, and they all lead to the same point. But the point is this, they don't all lead to God. If you look at a wheel when it turns, you'll see that things are thrown out from the centre, they're thrown away from the centre, and there are many paths, and they all lead away from God. And that is the point, isn't it? There are many paths, and they're pointing in the opposite direction, because they're all going away from God. The word of God says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. You see, there are many ways that men and women go tonight. The Bible says of them, there is a way that seems right to a man or a woman, honest and sincere before God. They think they're doing the right thing going to church. They think they're doing the right thing putting their money into charity. They think they're doing the right thing trying to help folks, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not good enough to save us. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the way of death, says the word of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about four ways. And he speaks about them in terms of ground, different kinds of ground. But the point is this, and please, in the midst of everything else that I say, and sometimes I say too much, say more than is good for myself, but in the midst of everything that I say, tonight will you go away and remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about four ways. Three of them lead to hell, and one of them leads to heaven. Three of them leads to hell, and one of them leads to heaven. Said the Lord Jesus, there's only one way. Only one way. John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Only one way to God. And that's in knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour. Only one way to God. When I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died for my sin at the cross of Calvary, and I turn from my sin, and I tell God from my heart that I'm sorry for my sin, and I ask Jesus Christ into my life as my Lord and Saviour, says the Lord Jesus, that's the only way, no other way. I am the way, the truth, the life. Ah, but here's something important. There might be only one way to God, but there's three ways to hell. Three ways to hell. Now, if you have your Bible there, you'll notice something very sad right at the beginning of this chapter. It's interesting, but it's very, very sad here in Matthew chapter 13. It says right at the beginning, that it paints a picture for us as to what we have here. It's a lovely meeting in Matthew 13. It's good to be here tonight with the Bible, and we're pleased that you've come here. But you know, if I had the choice between coming to this meeting tonight and going to that meeting in Matthew 13, I would go to this meeting in Matthew 13. Because there's a very special preacher in Matthew 13. It's the person of Jesus Christ. What a preacher. And there he is, it says, verse 2 of Matthew 13, great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he went into a ship, and he sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. There were so many people, you know, that the Saviour had to get in a boat, and he had to go out into the sea so that he could have a pulpit, you know, that was just at the right distance to take in all of this multitude that were there. There they all were. They had come to the right man, the right person, Jesus Christ. They were hearing the right message from the Lord Jesus Christ. The right man, the right person, the right preaching. And they were there at the right place. That was the place to be at, where the Son of God was going to preach, and he was going to tell people about their sin and about their need to be saved. And there was a whole multitude there. And as the Lord Jesus begins to preach, he tells them a parable, a story. And really it's a story that's being worked out before their very eyes. For he speaks about a man sowing. That's the Lord Jesus. He speaks about seed that's been sowing. That's the message. And he speaks about the ground that it's landing on. That's the multitude. And he looks at a man in the crowd. And he says, you know, some of that seed, it falls by the wayside. And the birds will just come and take it. That man's lost. He's lost. But he's at the right place. He's listening to the right preacher. He's there with the right person and hearing about Jesus Christ, but the Lord Jesus Christ knows in his heart that whilst he's preaching and he's giving them the best gospel message you could ever hear, he's not taking it in. It's not going into his mind. It's not going into his heart. He's hearing the words, but he doesn't understand that he's a sinner. He doesn't understand that he's going to hell. He doesn't understand there's only one way into heaven, the reality of heaven and hell, and God isn't really gripping his heart. He's lost. The Saviour knows it. Magic, isn't it? And then he turns to a woman. And he speaks about that same message, that seed that's been sown. And he says, some of it as I'm preaching here even tonight, some of it is falling on stony ground. And its root will go down. And you'll go home. And something will touch your heart because there's a wee bit of a root there. And you'll say, you know, it's like what that preacher was saying tonight. When he talked about sin, that's true enough. And it's true enough there's a God, there must be a God, or I wouldn't be here thinking about him. And it's true enough, you know, it's true enough that there must be a heaven and there must be a hell. It's true enough that Jesus Christ existed, that's true enough. And my, I wish I could be saved. Because I've got real problems in my life, and there's nobody can do anything for me. The only person that could possibly help me is God. But it doesn't last very long. And you get a sense of the tragedy, don't you? As the Lord Jesus turns really to that crowd, and he divides them up into four, and maybe this is the second thing I would like you just to be able to do tonight, is to put yourself in one of those four boxes. The person that just isn't interested at all, or at least the message is just taken away. A person that would really like to be saved, but there's not the depth to it. Another person that tries their very best to become a Christian, but there's so many other interesting things, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, other things that are more important. And then there's one in four, and they grasp what the Lord Jesus is saying. They grasp that this is the very person of God standing before them. They see that a Saviour crucified on the cross at Calvary is for them. And they see that God made them and he was interested enough to send his Son into the world. And they see that they can be saved. And they cry from the depths of their heart, Lord, save me, save me. And they turn from their sin. They're saved. But it's only one in four. It's only one in four. One in four. Three ways to hell and one way to heaven. Maybe let's look at one or two of these things then, shall we? I've got my Bible there at chapter 13. And we want to look at the explanation the Lord Jesus gave. It's a very interesting explanation of this parable. And I'm down there at verse number 19. Verse number 19. Four different kinds of ground. Here's the first thing that can happen. Verse 19, when the message is preached, when we hear that we're sinners before God, when we hear that the God in heaven who made us sent his Son to save us, and that we must turn from our sin and be saved, here's the first thing that can happen. Verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The seed by the wayside. Now, does this apply to you? Does it apply to me? Here's a person, and they hear the message of the gospel, but they really don't understand it. It falls by the wayside. Now, that's an interesting little phrase the Lord Jesus uses. You'll find in this book called Matthew various things at the wayside. Usually it's the kind of things that people don't have any great time for. Beggars, for example. Folks that would look down their nose at the beggars in the olden days and, oh, what are you? You're nothing. And they would just toss them to the side. And it says of a couple of beggars that found the Lord Jesus, that they were by the wayside. They were just discarded out of the road. Nobody had any time for them. The same thing with this word. People have heard the gospel, and, you know, they've heard it, and the word was right enough, but it just didn't seem to be for them. It just didn't hit home. It didn't really grip their heart that when the preacher was saying, "You're a sinner," that was them. You see that? It didn't really grip their heart. It went in one ear, as they say, and out the other. I had a friend, and she was a nurse, and she worked in a practice, not in New Cumnock, I'll tell you that for the benefit of the story. But she was a nurse, and she was starting her job in Glasgow, in Bayliston actually it was, and she was given the job of going and syringing somebody's ears. So she drew up a syringe of water, and some of you have had this done to you, it's a terrible thing, I don't know why we do it, but anyway, she got this syringe, and she filled it full of water, and she gave the woman the bowl, and she says, "Now, I'm going to syringe your right ear here. Can you just hold that bowl so that it catches the water?" So my friend went in and she took her syringe and she put it in her right ear, and the lady put the bowl at her left ear, you see. Well, nobody had obviously explained that most people have something in the middle that stops the water going right the way through, you see. But we have a saying, that was Bayliston of course, it would never happen in New Cumberland, but we have a saying, don't we, in one ear and out the other. Well, that's what she was expecting. And that's what happened here in Matthew chapter 13. In one ear and out the other. They heard it. But it didn't actually affect them. They didn't understand it. It went through the ear without affecting the mind, without them understanding it. And as the preacher said, "You're a sinner and you're going to hell." They said, "I'm a sinner and I'm going to hell," but never understood it. When the preacher said that God made you because you're so complex, because you're so clever, because there are so many things you can do, because you can feel hatred, you can feel love, you can feel passion, you can feel sorrow, you can feel indignity, you can feel when a thing's right, when a thing's wrong, you can feel unfairness, you can feel sorry for yourself. You're not just a machine. They are not just a machine. And then when he tells you that there are over 300 prophecies written about the coming of Jesus Christ, 100 and odd already fulfilled at least, and that Jesus Christ is a real historical person, and that you can know him, they say, "Oh yeah, that's true." And then they go home and switch on Sky TV and do something else. Doesn't it affect them? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, understands it not, then comes the wicked one, and he catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. The most important thing about the meeting tonight is what happens after 7 o'clock. I'm not saying I'm going at 7. It's what happens after 7 o'clock. It's what you do with it. What I do with it. We're all in the same boat, aren't we? It's the same word to each of our hearts tonight. It's what I do with it. The most important thing about any preaching meeting is not simply being here. It's great to see you, and we trust that you'll come back for a better preacher next week with Simon Leach. But it's good to see you. But the real point of it is what you do with that message when you go home. I agree with them. That's good. But it doesn't really affect us. Do we see that we're a sinner? We've all sinned. You know, there are some things that affect us all, no matter where we are. The old preachers used to take a verse from the book of Hebrews. It's a little verse that says the Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost all who come unto him by faith. And they used to change it a bit. You're not meant to change the Bible, but they used to change it. And they used to say, he's able to save to the uttermost, and he's able to save to the guttermost. Some of the old preachers used to say that. In other words, there's nobody too far down that he might be able to help, that he might be able to forgive us our sin, that he might be able to save us and take us to heaven. Nobody's too far down. Sometimes we despair at ourselves, don't we? One of the great pointers that God is real, one of the great pointers that God made me, because sometimes I'm honest enough with myself to be honest with myself and say, "Stuart, you're a failure. You're a failure. Evolution doesn't produce people that says, I'm a failure. It produces people that say, I'm brilliant." Sometimes we're honest enough to say that. And no matter how far down we might be, he's able to save to the uttermost, or as they used to say, to the guttermost. And there's nobody too high up the ladder that he's not able to save us either, that we don't need to be saved. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3. For all have sinned, everyone. So it doesn't matter how good I think I am or how bad I am. I need Christ. Because we've got the same problem. We're all sinners. And we're all going to die. And we all need to be saved. Yesterday, I spent the afternoon in Ayr. One of the patients I saw, one of the first patients I saw, was living in a hovel. And he had a serious illness. He had been injecting drugs and drinking alcohol, and he was there in a mess, covered in infection. He had septicemia as well. He was on the road out. And then the next call, you know, it was to the other side of here we went, and I can't tell you who names, obviously, but this person you would know, he's a famous television personality, and, you know, he was seriously ill as well. Both sides of the spectrum of society, from the person with nothing, who lost it all in drugs, to the person who was on the telly and had everything, and the best house and the best bit of air, but both in the same need. Both facing the reality of meeting God and the reality of death. And it just reminded me, you know, that we're all in this boat together. We're all the same. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't matter what clothes we might wear or where we might stay, we're in this together. There were those who heard that message and it just, you know, it was stolen away. It fell by the wayside. And so often Satan will come in, you see, as he does here, and he'll just distract us. He'll distract us. And that little seed that's sown, it'll be taken away. And then you notice not only that seed that fell by the wayside, but look at verse 20 with me, would you? Here's what the Lord Jesus says about the second kind of thing. But he that received the seed in stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he has not root in himself, but he endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He's offended. The first man or woman, he's distracted. Somebody has sown the good word of God into his heart and then they've taken it away. The second, he really gets discouraged, doesn't he? Verse 21. For when tribulation, that is problems, and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. He gets discouraged. You notice that on the surface there, things are at the beginning a bit different in the second kind of ground, on the stony ground. You notice that you not only have a seed on this ground, but you also have a bit of a root coming down. And things look a bit more promising. Things look a bit more promising there in verse 20 and 21. But this person, whilst they have understood a little of what has been said, and maybe even they've had some kind of religious experience, it says that they with joy receive it. So these people, they've heard that they're a sinner. But they must have understood too that there's a Saviour. That there is one who died for them at the cross of Calvary. They must have understood that there was a Saviour who loved them. That surely can be the only source of joy. That there was a Saviour who loved them and who was nailed in his hands and in his feet for them at the cross of Calvary. There was one who suffered and who was whipped and beaten because he loved that poor sinner. And there's a joy, you see. And maybe if you had asked this person, are you saved? They would have said they were. But they're missing something. Let me read it again. Verse number 21. Yet hath he not root in himself. There's a seed, that's the word, and there's a root but it's only in himself. Only in himself. This man or woman hasn't really discovered what Christianity is all about. It's all about Christ. They haven't really discovered that Christianity is when Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, comes into my life and transforms my life, and I lay hold upon the Son of God and he's mine. And I build my life upon him, and I rest upon him, and I depend upon him. This person is just depending upon themselves. He's only got root in himself, and that kind of thing, just a religious kind of thing without power. The Bible speaks about a day when men will have a form of godliness. They'll have a Bible. They'll go to a church. They'll get baptized. They'll say they're Christians. But they deny the power of it. There's something missing. There's something missing. And this man is something missing. Are you a Christian? Oh, I'm a Christian, he would say. But it only goes into his own heart. He's depending upon himself. He's depending on his own cleverness. And he hasn't really grasped Jesus Christ. There's never been that real experience of the power of God in his heart. When he sees that he needs Jesus Christ as his Lord and Saviour, and he sees that there is no other hope for him, and he cries, God save me, and he opens up his heart to the Lord Jesus, and from that moment on he's converted. And it's him and Christ now. It's him and God now. It's not him alone with just his religious beliefs. He's actually got a living person. I wonder if you're there. If you're not, you see, when problems come, when tribulation or persecution comes in verse 21, it all goes, doesn't it? So we have one kind of group of grounds there that, well, folks are distracted. And then we've got this little group of ground there, verse 20, 21, where people get discouraged because they really don't have a grip of the Word of God, a grip of the person of Jesus Christ. And then verse 22, it's looking a bit more promising. And as we read verse 22, we think, here's something here. We've finally found it. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the care of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, it becomes unfruitful. So here's a little seed, and it's fallen in the ground, and it's put down some roots. You say, that's great, we've got seed, we've got roots, and it must have grown up now amongst all of these weeds, and you would look at it, and you would say, great. There's something there. This person's got a grip of it. They know they're a sinner. They've asked Jesus Christ into their heart. They know that Jesus Christ is real, that he died on the cross for their sin. They want him in their life. But Satan knows they want him as well. And so what Satan does is he comes along and he offers them something else. Yeah? That's it, isn't it? Pie in the sky, he says. All this Christianity stuff. It's pie in the sky when you die. You've got to remember, he whispers in their ear, you've got to make a living. So just put your job before the Lord Jesus. Or he whispers in their ear, listen, that's all well about Christianity, but you know there's better pleasures. There's bigger buzzies out there. Ditch the Christianity thing for just now and we'll give you a bigger buzz out in this big, bad world. He's not going to persecute them. He's going to offer them something else. Something that the Bible describes as the cares of this world, responsibilities, deceitfulness of riches. And there's another verse elsewhere that talks about the lust of other things. Anything at all, you see, that just might be what I want. And there's the devil. You see, if you're genuine, if you're sincere, and you really see you've got a problem of sin, and you really see that you're going to stand before God, and you really see that God is not going to allow you into his heaven because he's not going to allow you to make as big a mess of his heaven as you've made here and you come in your own life, and you see that. And you see that this message that comes from the Bible is a real message that God loved me and his son died for me at the cross, and you're really keen, then you can be sure of this. As soon as you go out this hall, there's going to be someone or something that will offer you someone or something that will take you away. See? And the sad thing is that usually what takes us away isn't worth tuppence, and it certainly doesn't endure for any length of time. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Three ways then to hell. I wonder if any of those three apply to you. You've heard the word, but you haven't really grasped it. Or you've heard it and you've understood it, but you've not really grasped the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no root. Or you've heard it, you've understood it, you would really like to do well, but you don't understand that Satan's out against you, and that as soon as he dangles a fiver or something else, then you'll be away. Only one way, verse 23, he that received the seed into the good ground, the seed that hears the word, he understands it, it bears fruit, and he brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. How do I know if a person's saved? Is it what they say? No. It's the power of a changed life. The power of a changed life. It's a man or a woman, and they've asked Christ into their heart. They've believed that they're a sinner. They see that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sin, and they open their life to him, and Christ comes in and he changes that life. And from that life being a dead thing, an empty thing, a thing that's going to hell, a thing that has nothing but sorrow, a thing that has no hope, he changes it, and he makes it a fruitful thing, and something for God and for eternity. We trust tonight that we all might know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, the Son of God who loved us, and who gave himself for us at the cross of Calvary. The Bible says this, that God so loved the world, that whosoever believeth in him need not perish but have everlasting life. A Saviour who loved me and who gave himself for me, and he's mine if I'll turn from my sin and invite him in as my Saviour into my life. Shall we pray? Our Father, we do come into your presence tonight. We give thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank you indeed for the greatness of he who died for us at the cross. We think of one who loved us and who was crucified at the cross of Calvary. And we pray, Father, tonight that we might indeed understand it. Here's a great thing, Father, that we might truly understand the message. A message that tells me I'm a sinner, and I'm going to hell, and that I'm lost, and that I need a Saviour, that I might understand it. That I might understand the greatness of the love of God towards me. That God loved me and gave his Son for me. That I might not only understand it, but that I might act upon it. And that I might receive him as my own. And we pray, Father, indeed, that I would just bless tonight and bring some who don't know the Lord Jesus to yourself and let them trust in you, we pray. So we give thanks, our Father, for the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would bless thy word to us, and we return thanks now in Jesus' name.